As I was preparing today's message, I found myself in a place that I don't really like to be. As a preacher, my role is to expound upon the Word of God. In other words, I am supposed to read God's Word to you, then explain it, and then give you examples of how to apply God's Word to your life. Now, you would think that explaining the Word of God would be the most difficult part. But for me, that's an easier piece. However, oftentimes, it's the applying it that is difficult. And I find that the lessons of Epiphany fall into that category. Now, remember, an Epiphany is a divine showing or a revelation of something. In the case of the church, the season of Epiphany covers events in Jesus' life that reveal to us something about His true nature, His divine self, that helps us to have a better, deeper understanding of who Christ is. And maybe that's all that these passages of Scripture are supposed to do. Maybe we don't have to apply them to our lifestyles, but just embed them in our hearts, in our minds, in our understanding to help us have a deeper faith. Today's scripture lesson reveals to us something about who Jesus really is. So I intend to read it to you. I intend to explain it, and I will also try to apply it. But I think that the main thing for us in this lesson today is just to learn more about Jesus, who He is. Today's text is a simple story about what I consider to be Jesus' first sermon. So this morning, what I'm given to work with is that Jesus is standing in His hometown synagogue. He's reading a scripture and then giving the shortest sermon ever. One sentence. That is it. And maybe that's the lesson. Maybe the application is for preachers. It's an example of how not to go on and on and on. Keep it short and simple, right? Yeah, you guys wish. As I prayed about how to make today's text relevant to us today, I was led to look at the scripture that accompanies the lectionary text, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31a. We read it in its entirety a few minutes ago. So let me just review the main points. This wonderful text simply teaches us that we are all created special and different. However, even with all of our differences, we are part of one body, the body of believers who make up the body of Christ. Since we are all part of Christ's body, we are supposed to do our part to help the body to function. Paul then goes into a long list of examples, saying that if the ear says it can't see, well, of course it can't, because it's an ear, it's not an eye. And a foot can't do the work of the heart can't do the work of the brain. In other words, we are all created differently, and we must do what we were created for. We must fulfill the reason we were created. We must hear our calling, accept it, and then go do it. Now, this isn't always easy to do. Often, we don't understand what we are created to do, and we don't understand our calling. Sometimes, though, we know what God has gifted us to do, and we know what He has created us to do, but we don't want to do that. Or maybe we're afraid to do that. Maybe what God has called us to do is to be that smaller piece of the body that doesn't get all the praise, maybe doesn't ever get seen. And we don't want to do that. We want to do something more fantastic. Or maybe we're called to be in the front. Maybe we're called to be heard. But, oh no, I could never do that. Just let me do these little things in the background. Sometimes we know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're gifted to do, but we don't want to do it, or we're afraid to do it. But this wasn't the case with Jesus. Jesus understood his role, and in today's text, he lets the world know, starting with his hometown. Jesus was baptized, and then he returns filled with the Holy Spirit. He understands who he is and what he is, his calling is. He accepts it, and he begins to tell the world. My years in seminary were filled with many different classes. However, probably a quarter of my seminary experience was filled with theology classes, theological classes. And theology is the study of God. And although I like learning about God and meditating on that, theology was not one of my favorite subjects. No, what I couldn't wait to get to was the preaching courses. Now, in order for you to appreciate what it's like to take a seminary preaching course, you need to understand the environment. Our classrooms were just regular classrooms with a raised platform and a podium in the middle. And in the back of the room, there was there was this window in the back of the room which revealed a sound booth. And above the window was a camera with a video. It was a video camera that recorded every one of our sermons. When we preached, we waited for the sound booth guy to give us the thumbs up, and then we would start. And when we were finished, we would sit down, and our classmates then were given the opportunity to rip our sermons and delivery apart, pointing out mistakes, blunders, or awkward movements. And if they didn't find enough faults, our professor made sure to fill in the gaps. Oh, it was certainly a lesson in humility. Now, I'm telling you this to say that if Jesus had given today's sermon in seminary, he would have failed the class. First, his sermon wouldn't have met the 15 to 20 minute minimum sermon time requirement. He offers no witty stories as an introduction. He doesn't really even explain or elaborate on the text he read. He reads it and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then he just sits down. It's just one sentence. It takes 3 seconds. A regular service in Jesus' day was similar to what we do now. Usually there were prayers, and then there was the reading of scripture, and followed by some comments and explanation about what that scripture meant, and an offering was then taken and given to the poor. In this case, Jesus doesn't explain anything. He simply makes a statement. Now, this scene is very important, and we need to understand this event. So let me try to crunch this down. After Jesus was baptized and returned from the wilderness, he went to the local synagogue as he usually did on the Sabbath. Jesus obeyed all the laws and customs. Now, however, he is no longer Jesus the carpenter, but now he is Jesus the teacher, the minister, the rabbi. And so he is invited by his hometown to speak, and he is given a scroll to read. And they anxiously await to hear his teaching on God's word. And I'm sure Jesus knew many, if not all, of those men who were before him that day. He probably played in their homes. He probably ran through their yards. He probably helped even to fix doors and windows in some of those homes. Jesus read these words from the scroll of Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 2. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Isaiah spoke those words, he was prophesying the coming of the Messiah, who would preach good news of hope to the poor, good news of release to the oppressed, good news of freedom to the imprisoned, and good news of healing to the sick and handicapped people. He was envisioning the year of Jubilee when all would be made right, the captive set free, and all debts would be forgiven. These verses were well known by the Jewish people. Jesus read this prophecy. He sits down and he looks those men in the eyes and he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus says, the one that Isaiah was prophesying about, yep, that's me. I'm the one who will come and do all those things that he prophesied about. You're looking at him. I'm the guy. And Jesus must have anticipated what their reaction was going to be. Have you ever said something you knew to be true, but no one believed you? Christopher Columbus believed that he could get to India faster by sailing west. But most people thought that he was crazy because everyone knew that the world was flat. And if you sailed west, you would fall off the edge of the world. But he proved them all wrong. Columbus heard his call to go west, and filled with the spirit of adventure, he told others and he went and he did it. The key to this passage is that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew that the scripture was about him and what he was sent to do on this earth. He was here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and to let us know that we all can be set free. And that he, Christ himself, Jesus, was the way to heaven. Jesus knew what he was to do, and he accepted it, and he went out and did it. So what does this have to do with us? What this has to do with us is that we are all part of the body of believers. Each one of us is a part of the body of Christ, the same Christ who stood up and read that scroll and knew what he was to do. As Christians, and as part of the body of Christ, we are hands, we are feet, we are ears, we are eyes, we are brains, we are lungs, we are mouthpieces. Yes, we are created differently. But God wants us to identify and name what we were created for and then go do it. We are to follow the example of Jesus our Lord and go out filled with the Holy Spirit and do the work God has set before us. Identify it, name it, accept it, and then do it. It's not always easy, but God gives us what we need and the power and authority to accomplish our work. All we have to do is go do it. The one who is to come, well, he came. The one who will set the prisoner free has unleashed the shackles. The one who leads us into the kingdom is waiting and watching for us to finish our work, to do our part. Another truth in this passage is that Jesus couldn't do his work without the Holy Spirit, and neither can we. Jesus needed the assurance that what he was doing was what he was called to do, and the Holy Spirit gave him that assurance, and the Holy Spirit can give us that assurance as well. Here's the good news. Friends, the role of the Messiah, the one to offer the supreme sacrifice, the one that was about suffering and dying, well, none of us have to do that. That part has already been taken care of. All we have to do is our own small part, that the little jobs in life. The big one has been taken care of. Thanks be to God. So our challenge is to figure out what our part is. What is God calling us to do? And once we understand that, then we have to accept it and then go do it. And the way we begin is by praying, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to each of us what our purpose is, and to listen for the Holy Spirit, that voice in the back of our head, that feeling in our heart. And I believe that some part of that feeling about what God is calling us to do, that we all have some sense of what that is. And our gifts and talents can help us to understand that and figure it out. What has God blessed you with? What has He given you to make you good and to do well at things? You know, the gifts and talents we were given weren't given to us to help us to excel in life. But they were given to us to help build the kingdom of God and to share the good news. So what has God given you? What gifts and talents? We need to, but sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need help to figure that out, to sort it out, or to develop a plan of how we use our gifts. And I just want you to know that there are those of us here who can help you with that. The discipleship team can help you to sit down and talk about it. I can sit down and talk with you about it. Whether it's by yourself or with help, each of us are called to our own work in the body of Christ. We've all been gifted. We're all a different part. And in order for the body of Christ to work properly, each of us need to accept what we are and to go do it. Identify it, accept it, and do it. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Let us pray. Gracious God, oh, the words of that scroll, of that prophecy, were fulfilled that day in you. And you did your part. But then unbelievably, you called us to be a part of you, to be a part of what you were doing. And when you ascended into heaven, you gave us the privilege of continuing your work. We don't always see it as a privilege, but it is. It is. So Lord, help us to know what it is you want us to do. Help us to accept that. And then give us the courage to go out and do it. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.